Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers. Receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. Sunday, February 28th, 2010, and this is a live show for February 2010 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg from StudioCentral.com, and joining me on today's show is, who's on the show today? It's Mike Scopa, of a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Buildings are towering now as high as 20 stories.
I should know that. Oh, that's Carousel Progress, right?
That's correct.
See, I just had to think about it for a second. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome, Mike.
Hello. We are online and ready to go.
Nice. And also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Hey, everybody listening, start praying for warm weather next weekend.
Rain.
Just start it now.
Rain.
No, warm weather.
Rain.
Please sacrifice your firstborn children so that we can have nice weather during Fanfest, please.
Rain.
It's the February 2010 live show, and this is your opportunity to call in now with your questions. 407-278-5939 is our phone number, and you can call in and with your trip planning questions. Don't forget, our chat room is open along with our webcams at www.today.com. It's free, it's easy. Check in all that. And we're going to start things out with our first caller of the day. Hi, who's
speaking? Oh, Lord. It's Kev Bott.
Oh, hey.
Sound like Len for a minute.
Hey, guys. So I actually wrote down my questions. It doesn't sound dumb. First question. They just changed Animal Kingdom's opening ceremony. I want to know why.
They changed it. It's not the Let the Adventure Begin anymore?
Instead of on Discovery Island, they moved it to like right after the turnstiles.
Oh.
And so Mickey doesn't rise up, and he's on the cart with he's on the Jeep with Minnie and Pluto instead of Goofy. Goofy's nowhere to be seen.
Interesting. What? I wasn't.
No, yeah. Goofy.
No Goofy.
Yeah, I'm not going.
I hadn't heard about that, partially because I spent so little time over there. I don't know. They've been changing a lot of things around. I mean, they changed for a week. They changed the start time of the parade from 3:45 to 4:45, but then they just moved it back the other day. Back to 3:45. So it seems like they're tweaking some things over there at Animal Kingdom, and as to why, don't know. But
no answer just yet.
Yeah, I mean, they did get a new. Don't forget, they also got a new vice president over there. They play kind of not Russian roulette, just more like musical chairs, I should say, with the VPs over there. They're one initially quit or moved to like Port Orleans, and they brought someone else in, and then they left immediately afterwards. So they've got some new management over there. And of course, you know, like anything in a big company, you know, when you're in charge now, you want to kind of put your touch on some things. Perhaps they're tweaking some things over there.
Well, I'm hoping that. I mean, I was like annoyed by it in the same way that I was annoyed by the new TTA announcing. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either, so I just wanted to know why.
Yeah.
And what else? I am looking for books about early Epcot, and I don't know which ones to get.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any ideas?
What was the question?
Books about Epcot.
Ooh, books about Epcot.
What's that one that Len recommends? I have it, too. It's just in storage. I don't have access to it. It's a really thick book. Oh, it's a great book. Let me see if I can look it up on Amazon.
Yeah, maybe Mike. When you grab it, just let us know, and we'll definitely mention for Kev. Kev, you're gonna be listening anyway, so just we'll get you that answer on there.
Hey, Kev, have you ever been to that site, Waltopia?
What is it?
It's called, I think it's called Waltopia.
Oh, no, I haven't been to it.
Yeah, do a Google on that. That might give you some stuff that you could be, find interesting.
Okay, cool, definitely.
Talks about how Walt Disney World evolved, and you'll notice when you read it that there are elements of the Magic Kingdom area that were originally elements for Epcot. And it'll give you a little bit about the background and how things evolved. It's not a book, but it'll give you something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely because when you guys were talking about Yesterland the other day, that sort of sparked my interest in going back to the old, because like I said, you know, I only got into Disney like in 2007, so I'm trying to catch up on all this history that I never got a chance to see. So,
hey, Kev, there's some great books out there.
Kevbot, that book is called Walt Disney's Epcot Center: Creating the New World of Tomorrow by Richard R. Beard.
Richard R. Beard. Okay, cool.
It's a little pricey because it's out of print, but it's an awesome, awesome book.
Oh, cool! I like $50 pricey or like $300 pricey.
I'm seeing it used on Amazon for $88. But check eBay. I got mine on eBay, so I'm sure that you can probably get a decent deal on eBay.
All right, cool. And are you guys going to ever do another Disneyland show? Because I'm going in April, and I want to catch up.
What's the name of the podcast, Kev?
I know.
Well played, Silva.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to go find, you know, DLR today and see what I can come up with there.
There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Kev.
Wow. Mike.
Wow. Wasted no time.
Slam the door on him.
I actually had to think about what he was trying to say, Mike, when he said that. I was like, what is he talking? Oh, yeah.
Got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Allison.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Allison. Guys. How are you all doing?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I am running. Me and my husband are running in the Princess Half Marathon next weekend. And I have two questions for me and, I guess, Scopa and Len, since they've run it before. I was wondering, first of all, if there were any points on the course that my husband and I need to be aware of. For example, like at mile marker 10, there's a massive hill or anything like that. Any tips you guys can give about the course and your experiences with that?
Allison, the course is the same as, I'm going to drop a name here. I talked with Ken Potrock, who's the senior vice president in charge of sports enterprises, and it's the same course as the half marathon. What you need to be aware of is that when you get closer to the Magic Kingdom, there will be curbs that you have to be aware of. Just be very, very careful because you may not realize that there are curbs there and you could actually do some damage to your ankle. I have a little experience with that. When you go through the Magic Kingdom, when you go through the back area near us, when you go near Splash Mountain, be very careful because there will be some water stops there, and it will be very, very slippery. There are some once in a while you'll be running on some metal, and if there's some water and some metal, it may be slippery. When you come back towards the Grand Floridian, it's going to be very, very crowded. You need to be aware of that. Try to stay off the grass because there will be. It'll be uneven, and since I'm planning to run it too, it may be raining and snowing, so you have to be very careful of it being slippery. When you get to mile 9 and 10, that's when you're going to be hitting some. Up until then, you'll be just running on a flat course, but then you'll be hitting two ramps, which are very, very. Unforgiving at that time of the race because you've already been running 9-10 miles and the last thing you need is a hill. But that's one thing. And the other thing is that when you're getting into Epcot, you may not realize this, but when you run into Epcot, when you come out and you see Spaceship Earth, when you turn right and you're heading towards World Showcase Lagoon, that's an incline. And you may not realize that it's an incline when you're there. Just touring, but when you've run 12 or 13 miles, you realize that, hey, this isn't an incline. This is a mountain. So just be aware of that and make sure that you save enough energy so that you can navigate those last two ramps and that incline.
Okay, excellent. excellent. And then also one other question. Whenever we signed up for t-shirts, I know that it's geared towards women, obviously, but my husband obviously is getting a shirt too since he's running. Are those men's shirts that they get, or is it only female size shirts that they get?
I've run in one before, and it's all female shirts. So, awesome. So you're getting two shirts, Allison.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. But those are the only questions I have, and maybe I'll see you guys out on the race course.
Awesome. Thanks, Allison.
You know, good luck.
All right, thanks.
407-278-5939. Let's take our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Andrew on Long Island.
Andrew.
Hello.
Hi, Andrew.
Go ahead, Andrew.
You're on the air.
I want to make a comment comparing Disney World to Disneyland.
All right, go for it.
First of all, I went to Disneyland during spring break last year. And I found the crowds to be much more tolerable at the same time as they were in Disney World.
Yeah, you know, the crowds, trends, there you go. The crowd trends for Disney World are going to vary quite a bit from Disneyland because obviously California, specifically Disneyland, is geared towards the locals more so than the Disney World where you get the people who come down on vacation. So you're going to obviously be like the summertime is really busy at Disneyland, whereas at Disney World, it's not quite as busy over there. And weekends are really busy at Disneyland, whereas weekends are not as affected down here at Walt Disney World. So you're obviously going to see some differences in crowds, even if like you could have a really busy day at Disney World, and then in California, it could just be a really slow day. So it's kind of weird in that regard.
Yeah, the Magic Kingdom was gridlock, I heard, during that week. The wait for Indiana Jones and Space Mountain were barely 50 minutes.
Wow, not bad. Yeah, so it's you're definitely going to see some changes over there. But, it's interesting how it kind of how the two are different, even though, you know, we're in the same country and, you know, just a couple hundred thousand miles apart. But it's, you know, you would think that they would be pretty much the same.
And I have one more comment.
Sure, go ahead.
On the Space Mountain, I'm in my minority on this, but I feel that the Space Mountain Disney World is actually better than the one Disneyland. Well, the visuals I thought were better at Disneyland, the ride I thought was more thrilling at the world.
That's interesting. Annette, you've ridden the one at Disneyland, right? Space Mountain?
Right.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
I just love the one in Disneyland, so I'm with the majority. Wow, the music and the it makes it.
Isn't the one in Disneyland rocking Space Mountain? Is that what that one, isn't it called that out there?
No? I don't know. Annette, do you remember?
I don't remember, but all I know is there's something about having the music. That's one of the things I love about Rock and Roller Coaster anyway, is having the music. You get all the elements, you're getting everything in it, and going out there, the music goes with the ride itself, so it makes a big difference. I was really hoping that was going to come in with some of the updates that they were doing here in Florida, but not.
It was announced, and a few years ago, it was announced that the Florida Space Mountain would be transitioning to Rockin' Space Mountain, but other things came in down the road and kind of pushed that aside. So eventually, I think you're right in that. I think it is going to happen, but probably 3 to 5 years out.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.
407-278-5939. We've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Masayo.
Yay, I made it, yay. Thank you. How is everyone doing? I'm doing good, by the way.
Masayo, you're early.
We're not at the end of the show yet.
I tried to make it last month, but I couldn't make it, so that I wanted to make sure that I can get in today. And I just wanted to say a big thank you for the WDW reunion and the people who came to the kakigori meet despite the cold weather, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great time at reunion, and the cold weather though. That's because you obviously teamed up with Mike Scopa. So what'd you expect?
Not that it gets cold when I'm down there now.
And Scopa-san is going to Disney World quite often these days, right? What happened to you.
Florida needed a little bit of colder weather.
They wanted to set a record, Messiah, for the coldest winter. And I tried real hard. I got within 10 degrees of the record. So, but there's always Tent Fest. You know, we want to.
No.
You know, but there's always Tent Fest.
Yeah, we're gonna see what's gonna happen in the next weekend for the Tent Fest, right? Because you will be there, Scopo-san.
That's right. We're gonna be calling it Snowfest.
Oh wow!
No.
Nice.
That's not fun. Because so many people are going down for the Tent Fest, and then Scopo-san, you shouldn't make a mess.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, Messiah. I appreciate it.
Can I say just one more? In the end of April, for the first time, I and my hubby, Momo, will be going to Hong Kong, Disneyland. Yay!
Ooh, nice!
you will send pictures.
Yeah, I will try to take many photos to share, and I will post on Facebook, and maybe...
Cool. Have fun. Have a great time over there. I'm sure you're going to love it over there. We're looking forward to seeing their pictures and hearing what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I wanted to share this with you. Thank you for letting me do that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Messiah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Messiah checking in from Japan for some of our newer listeners. She's actually calling live from Japan. So that's pretty cool. It's always nice to get calls from overseas. So. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What do you got for us?
Well, I was just trying to find out. My husband and I are going back and forth debating the value of Keys to the Kingdom tour. I called, and it's $75 a person.
Uh-huh.
And we're just trying to figure out whether or not, you know, we've been down now several times. It will be our sixth trip down. So it's not like, you know, we haven't seen a lot of the parks and all of that. So we're just trying to debate on whether or not, you know, $150 is worth that 5 hours, 4.5 hours.
I hear nothing
is
but really good.
That you would recommend?
I hear nothing but really good things about those tours, even Keys to the Kingdom, Backstage Magic, all of those. I mean, it's just the time consideration, obviously money, and that's up to you in terms of how valuable right. your time is and everything. But since you're obviously a big enough Disney fan that you're listening to podcasts and probably, you know, reading stuff online, I would say check it out. I mean, from what I can tell, everyone always gives positive reviews to it. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, and it's you're going to see some stuff. They're going to point out some things that you've walked past and missed.
No
matter what. Oh. And then you know, so there's going to be some things that the tours are going to point out different things, and they're always a little different. So we can't say exactly, it depends on the guy, but.
And some of the people in the chat room are mentioning it's great. Train Boy John says it's a great deal for the tour. Music Mouse says do the tour. It is awesome. And awesome is in capital letters. So, you know, that means it's really
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. That's awesome. Yeah. We were just trying to decide, you know, we have been down enough. But we're no longer now going, okay, is this ride okay? Is that we've ridden almost every ride. Well, no, we have ridden every ride. We've done all that type of stuff. And so we're kind of looking at, we're not bringing the kids down this time, so we don't have any age restrictions. And so we're trying to decide the value of that much time out of the parks spend on a tour. So.
And don't forget also there's discounts. Kidani Katie in the chat room is letting me know that DVC annual pass and Disney Visa card members get a percentage off. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's 15%, but I'm not sure. But it's going to be a little cheaper than that regular price. So be sure to, if you've got any of those, you know, library card.
Yeah, we need to get the Disney Visa. Yeah, ching ching. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, try everything. Try everything for any kind of discount. But it really is a great tour, and you're going to come away with different memories, and you're going to start seeing things a little different when you go in. You'll remember some of the stuff they pointed out to you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for your input, guys.
Thanks for calling.
And gals. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
407-278-5939. Some great questions so far, and we're going to keep things rolling here with our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Great. Okay. Hey, how are you guys?
Great. Can you do us a favor and turn down your radio a little bit? We're hearing the feedback.
Yeah. How's this?
Perfect.
Okay. Listen, I'm coming down in May, 1st of May, and this is the first time that I'm renting a car. And I'm coming, I'm solo.
Uh-huh.
So I just have some, probably you guys, some obvious questions, but having never done this before, if you could just walk me through it a little bit. I read all the information in the guide, and then Mike Scopa just gave some real good information in his blog on All Ears. But what I'm concerned about is the pick up and drop off and trying to handle my bags and everything. Would you suggest that I get my car or go do the paperwork before I pick up my baggage?
I see what you're saying. So this is a good question from Mike Scopa, since, Mike, you just rented a car last week and the week before. And I think
every week.
Yeah.
I need to have the caller identify herself. We didn't catch your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Rita from Peoria, Illinois.
Okay, Rita. You mentioned my blog, and something very interesting. This past trip, I actually flew down with a different airline. So I used a different terminal. I used Terminal B. And I found that to be a little bit easier than Terminal A regarding the rental car. But just when you return, you may want to think about that. This is what I do. And in the blog, I mentioned this. Use anything that you can to go right from baggage claim to pick up your car. Use one of those clubs, if it's Quicksilver or Emerald Isle or whatever you can. If you prefer using those two, which is Alamo and National. Now, what I like about those two is that I can bypass the counter. So all I do is I take my bags and I go right across the street. Now, Alamo and National and a few others, I'm not sure which ones, are all on the first. They're all in the first level, which means you don't have to worry about bringing them up an elevator, bringing them up an escalator. What's nice is that you can go over and pick up your car, the car that you choose to pick up, and it makes it a lot easier. I think that everyone has to realize that you have to bring your bags over there.
Okay.
Unless you're with someone, and what you want to do is you want to say, look, why don't you go out to the curb where the arrivals are, take the bags, I'll pick up the car, and I'll come around and pick you up. That's the other option.
But yes, I've done that before, but I've never done this by myself.
Yeah.
And that's my concern. And do you think there's enough time, say that I would check in and do the paperwork at the counter for a car, is there enough time to do that before the bags come?
It would depend.
Well,
yeah. You're going solo, right? That's right.
It would depend on the company. Like when I do Dollar, and I have the Dollar Rewards, whatever that
Express,
the Fast mm-hmm. Lane, whatever that is, I go right to the front of the line. I'm done within 5 minutes. So I can go back up and catch the bag just before they come out on the carousel. But if I were to wait on the regular line, I mean, you may be there for a good half hour, 45 minutes sometimes, the way the line is. So
I better not chance that.
I would recommend, if you wanted to do it that way, I'd recommend, like Mike said, you sign up for one of those Express Lane things. Or you can even do all the information like with Alamo, and I think with Enterprise, you could do it ahead of time. And all the paperwork's already done when you get there.
Okay.
Yeah, see, what you do, Rita, is you just, I mean, you have the paperwork, so you will reserve your car online, print out your confirmation, you pick up your bags, you go get the car, and as you drive out at the counter, you just hand them your confirmation and you take care of stuff there. You don't have to go to the counter at all.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, and I can do that with Dollar or anybody?
I don't know about Dollar.
No.
I'm not an expert on Dollar.
Enterprise, I think, right, Mike?
Matt and Mike. What'd you say, Mike?
Enterprise, I think, does that.
I think Enterprise does it. I know that Alamo does it. I know
they all do it. The only one that costs money is Hertz, I believe. They have the Gold Club, and that one does cost money.
No, I think he means you can go, you skip the line and go right to get the car.
Yeah, all of them have programs that are like that.
No. But Enterprise is the one that you go right to the parking lot. You don't even go to the counter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Enterprise, you just go pick your exactly as you said.
I think Dollar, you have to go pick up your keys.
Yeah, Dollar, you have to go to the line.
You have to go and check in and then go pick up your keys and go.
And they tell you which car you want. So
right.
But I would definitely get your bags first, Rita, just because I think it's too much backtracking otherwise. Because you're going back up the stupid escalator with all your stuff. I mean, who wants to deal with that?
Right. Then the other question, when I drop off the car, I always have done a curbside check-in. Is that the same thing as what, Mike, you were talking about, a SkyCab?
Yeah, this is what you do, Rita. And this is something that I hope a lot of people will take advantage of. When I returned my car... Again, I used U.S. Airways this trip, and so they're on Terminal B. I've never used Terminal B. I think the last time I used Terminal B was going to say 1976, but I don't think there was more than one terminal there anyways. But so if you return the car to Terminal B, you don't have to go through all around the airport before you go to the car rental area. So you drop off your car there, and then you take your bags and you go – you take the elevator and you take it up to the check-in area. And what I suggested in the blog, and I used it again this week, is that if you go and you're checking in your baggage at MCO, you go up to the – you wait in line and you go all the way up to the counter and you check your bags in. And then you have to bring the bags to the X-ray area, to the security area where they X-ray the bag. So – rather than do that, which takes time, I go out and I go to the SkyCap, you know, for a few dollars. And Len and I, you know, are very much see eye to eye on this. It's the best few dollars that you can spend. You know, they take care of you. They take care of your bags. They handle them for you, and you're gone. 5 minutes versus 45 minutes. It's worth the money.
Can you do that before you drop your car off?
No, because you can't park your car over there just for dropping off and unloading and loading. So you can't.
Right.
You can't either.
No, you have to drop your car off first.
Yeah.
Well, before I used the Lincoln Town Cars people. You know the and they took me right there to curbside, checked my bags, and then I was fine. But I've never done.
Yeah, all you're going to do is you're going to go return your car, you're going to take the walkway back to the terminal, and then you take the elevator up to the level over there that Mike's talking about, and you're just going to go step outside, like,
where
all the cars are, and that's where the curbside check-in is available for you.
Once I get there, is there a map, an internal map of the world that I could go by to try to find my way around? Do you know of anything...
There's not a really good map, as in like something that would actually fly for like Rand McNally or something like that. There's like kind of like cartoony maps. The great thing about Disney, I think, is that I know you're apprehensive about driving around on property, but I mean, even if you miss your turn, like flagrantly miss your turn, then like let's say you know you're trying to go to Animal Kingdom and you miss the turn, the next big sign you're going to see is an option to go to Animal Kingdom again. It's not like you're ever going to reach like the end. It's like you know, good luck, bro.
I picture myself just driving around in circles and not going anywhere, you know, trying to save time renting a car and then, you know.
It's really not very – I think you'll pick it up real quick. I mean, there's signs everywhere, you know, and again, if you miss that turn, it's okay. Keep going. You'll see another sign for the park or wherever you're trying to get to. And it's just – it's. I wouldn't really worry about that, to tell you the truth.
Okay. I'm bringing a GPS with me. I know in the guide that there's real good information about how to get from the airport to, you know, the world. So
just take 417. That's the best.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Mike, what company did you actually prefer? Did you say?
Well, I have used National and Alamo, but I found out that Alamo is a little bit more economical than National, and I also use discounts whenever I can, and the one that I keep on using is AARP. It's the best one I can find.
I got that. I'm with you there, Mike.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really, really good, and I'm actually I moved down from midsize to compact this past weekend. I drive around Disney all over the place, and I just had to fill it up with like 3 gallons of gas, so it worked out really well.
Is that discount better than the Mouth Savers discount?
Mary's site has Mary Waring's site has a lot of good stuff, but the AARP. What I liked about the AARP discount is that I've used it like 2 times in a row. It's like it's either $30 off or 30% off, and I can't get anything better than that. So,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Well, just I guess the big thing to just last little reminder, remember that, you know, if you're taking toll roads, make sure you get your change in hand.
Right, I read that.
Yeah. One more thing I noticed on this this trip, they used to offer a GPS when you pick up your car. Now they're offering a SkyPass. But it's, you need to think about this because I believe it's $250 per day. Or
SunPass.
SunPass, is that what it's called, yeah, Mike? Yeah, it's $250 per day or $10 for a week. So this is how I see it. If you're going for just 2 days, it's worth it. But if you're going for more than 2 days, I don't know if it's worth it unless you plan to use the turnpike a lot.
Right. No, I'm not going to be driving around a lot other than just, you know, the Disney destination. So
yeah, so bring singles, single dollars. Well, I guess you get change and quarters, yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Rita. It won't be that bad. I mean, you're going to see. It's going to be very easy.
You'll be an expert. You'll be writing a blog like me as soon as you do this.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rita.
Thanks. Have fun.
407-278-5939 is our number. And we've got some more calls right up here. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Jim from Ohio.
Hey, Jim. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just calling in to ask about if and when they do have the free dining plan. Do you think that they'll do it this year, tweak it again this year with maybe like the value you only get the quick service?
If I could tell you that, Jim, I would also be telling you I'd be keeping the lottery numbers to myself. But,
okay.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Very well may be the case. I mean, Annette, I mean, obviously you don't know what it's going to be. But I mean, typically Disney likes to kind of go with it. It seemed like it worked pretty well for them last year in terms of the free dining promotion. So one would expect that it would be at least that, right?
At least that. And I know that right now there are so many different PIN codes offers out there. So, you know, keep checking your mail, keep checking your email, check your spam filter just in case. Because I know we have had some clients that have gotten PIN codes for the free dining promotion already for the fall. So, that one did not have the value with the quick service. It had free dining. But again, there's so many out there, it's hard to know. Hard to know what they're going to come with.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And we have our next caller on the line, and it's Kim from Pittsburgh. Hi, Kim.
Kim.
Hi, Matt. How you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Hey there.
Hi, Annette. Annette, you scared me a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
Great. Audio problems. Oh, no.
She scares me all the time.
So you mentioned the cheerleader competition. Uh-oh. And that's my last weekend there.
Oh, which weekend is that? April 23rd?
Yep.
I'm going to be there with my cheerleading daughters, yes.
Oh, with your cheerleading daughter. Did you guys get like a park schedule? So like all the cheerleaders are going to be in Epcot on Friday and Magic Kingdom on Saturday.
It's not like that at all. You know where all the cheerleaders are going to be? Wide World of Sports. They're going to be over at ESPN. That's where the competition is. I wish I could say this is the only time cheerleaders come to Disney, but obviously we all know they come anytime between October and April, but this is the last big competition that they have during the season. They will close the park. They will close the Hollywood Studios a little early on Sunday. They'll have a private party for them there.
Sunday the 25th.
Is that the 25th? That Sunday, yep. So you'll have that going on. You're going to see a lot of high school kids walking around.
Okay.
You know, I wish I could say what park they're going, where they're going. Some teams are allowed to go over in the park. Some other gyms, they tell their kids they're there to compete and not to go in the parks until it's, you know, the competition's over. But the competition finishes Sunday.
Okay, I was wondering if there was a schedule, so I'll just keep my eyes open, because the last time I was there for Pop Warner, some of the cheerleaders decided to do a cheer in the line for Pirates of the Caribbean. And
that could happen. And if you're staying at the All-Star Resorts, change your resort now, because that's where they're putting them up. A big majority of them will be at the All-Stars. So,
doing my last night at Pop to take advantage of the airline check-in, because I fly Southwest.
Right.
But
right.
I'll be at Beach Club up till Friday night. So,
you're going to have to email me. Email me, because I'm coming down.
Great. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll run into you and run into Matt on Sunday, the previous Sunday at the studios. So, but great. I just thought I'd check with you to see if you had a schedule. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
You guys have a good night. I'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Kim.
Right, bye,
Kim.
Bye.
Always great to hear from our regular listeners. And Kim's been listening for Newell. I mean, we've heard from Kim for years now. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kim's
although
awesome.
She sounded depressed because, you know, her true companion in life, Len, is not here with us tonight. So, you know, Steelers garbage, but it's okay. I guess we're substitutes, so. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And, of course, don't forget, this Friday, TenFest begins.
Woo!
Yes. Wow. Can't believe it's coming up. Annette, you sound so excited.
Yeah. Don't sound so enthused.
You know, we all know that I'm not a fan of sleeping on the ground to start off with, but I'm, you know, taking one for the team. But 39 for a low on Friday night, that's what they're calling for right now? Hey, please.
Hey, Matt. Annette just did a Janine. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Nice. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are you speaking with?
Hi, this is Ken from Michigan.
Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Outstanding. What's on your mind, Ken?
Good. Well, I had what I think is a tip for everybody for something that we have done, and then some observations to share with you guys.
Nice. Cool. Go for it. Love sharing.
So we're DVC members, and you know, kind of like you guys have said on the show, we've eaten with the dining plan. It does tend to be a lot of food, and by the end of the week, we have too many credits to use. And what we found that we did is, the way DVC works, and I don't know, Mike Newell might be able to verify this, because we've done it, what would be about a year ago, so I don't know if they still do it this way. But if you make a reservation at a resort, and then you make a reservation at another one, even if you're doing it back-to-back, they treat those as completely separate reservations. And so I think the last time we went, we had reservations at Boardwalk and at Saratoga Springs. And for DVC, the dining plan is tied to the nights of the stay that you go. And so what we did is we were down there for 7 nights. We did a 4-night stay at Saratoga, put the dining plan on that, and then we did a 3-night stay at Boardwalk. And what it enabled us to do is we were down there all 7 days, but we only had the dining plan for 4 days. We kind of ate our fill, and then the second half of the trip, we just went as we, you know, paid as we went, and it worked out pretty good for us because we didn't feel like we spent too much, and it was a pretty good balance.
Absolutely. It's a great tip. I mean, obviously the only caveat to that is you have to, you know, you have two different reservations and you have to check out and check back in. But gives you that flex, but you know, for what you said, obviously that's important to you. So it is a great tip. And I'm sure there's others out there that, you know, would obviously love to be able to do something like that, because I think a lot of people have that complaint about the dining plan is, you know, there's just so much food and, you know, you go halfway and, you know, enjoy it.
Well, that's exactly what we found. Plus you got to stay at least 3 nights, I think. So what, you know, the one that you put the dining plan reservation on, it's got to be at least 3 nights.
Right.
So, you know, the other thing is, I calculated the other day, after having listened to almost 650 episodes, I figured I've listened to you guys more than the entire first year of my graduate school.
And probably learned something.
Well, I've come up with some observations of what it actually takes to be a WDW co-host.
Okay, so, ready for this?
Wait, let me get my pen. Hold on, I got a pencil. I'm ready.
We all need to take note and learn.
Number one, start drinking.
Well, I found if you've stayed at a Disney resort so many times, there's an unofficial name for it in your honor. You're qualified to be a co-host.
Nice.
If your friends endlessly pontificate on the joys of your absence whenever you're not on the job, you're qualified to be a WW Today co-host.
Who does that?
If you can ring a bell every time you hear the words "the unofficial guy," you're qualified. If when they opened up King Tut's sarcophagus, they called you to identify the body, you're qualified. If you can answer the question, "We're going to Disney World and want to know where to eat," over and over and over without going insane, you're qualified to be a host. If you scream like a little girl and have to clench hard so you don't lose your last meal when you think about riding dinosaurs, you're qualified.
This list stinks.
If you think a fortune cookie is an audible item, China Pavilion, you're qualified to be a co-host. Let's see. If your eyes glaze over and in a zombie-like stare, you head straight to the camera store after you pass through the Epcot gate entrance, you're qualified.
That's an old
If you
joke.
Keep a flask of maple syrup on you in case you need to feel Canadian. If you've analyzed all possible ways to order and take home desserts while on the Disney dining plan. If you like to invite total strangers you meet on the internet to spend the night in the woods.
Is that frowned upon?
Yeah, there you go. If Moses asks you to see if the seabed was dry enough to walk on after he cut in the red cheek. If you like to run Disney marathons with broken bones, you might be qualified. Funny. Or if you're dehydrated and you like to run, you might be qualified. Let's see. Final couple ones. If you have an unnatural pronunciation of the words outstanding and homes, qualified.
.com.
And if in the blink of an eye you can change from a mild-mannered sound and technical engineer into a gregarious robot, qualified.
I didn't know Marvin was a robot.
You know, Marvin, actually, I don't know if you guys know this, he moonlights, because Marvin is the unemployment voice automated for Michigan to take. So
I did not know that.
He's skipping out on you.
What did you say? Are you talking about me?
Yeah, and the last one here is if you're a dedicated, long-suffering, enthusiastic, knowledgeable Disney expert that everyone loves to listen to, then you're qualified to be a WDW radio co-host.
Oh.
So...
This has a whole Jeff Foxworthy thing going.
Yeah, very, very good.
25 hours of listening to you guys. That's what I've come up with.
Nice. Hey, can you send that to us? I'd love to post that somewhere.
Oh, I've got more.
That's great.
I left some of the Len ones out for later.
All right, nice. Send those in.
He would have loved it. Yeah.
All right. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks
buddy.
All right. Bye.
That was a great list. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. I had no idea Marvin was moonlighting.
Well, you know, he is one, you know, real quick guy.
Demand guy, yeah.
He really is, you know.
It pains me to bring him on the show, Newell, but I am wearing a Marlins jersey. So joining us on today's show is Steve Medina of Miami, Florida. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How the hell am I supposed to follow that?
You should have called back in like 20 minutes.
You need a bit, Steve. Yeah, you need a bit.
Let me tell you, I am loving your jersey, Matt. Okay, I'm hating Mike's jersey or shirt, but I'm loving your jersey.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Very cool. Very cool. Listen, I've got a little issue. You guys there?
Yeah.
Hello? Did we lose him?
Se habla español?
Sí.
Okay. I've got a pass that expires this Saturday. Okay, it's not a hopper. Okay, so my dilemma is one: I'm debating whether I should roll that over into a seasonal annual pass. What kind of a credit will I get from that? I've got 2 days left on it.
I believe you'll have the remaining credit, Steve. How many days did you have to begin with?
It was a 4 day pass.
So in that a 4 day pass, it's still got some value. 2 days left on a 4 day pass, it still has some value left on it. It's not like he has like a 10 day pass and he's got day 9 and 10 left.
Right. It's just not going to be. You can't figure that you're. It's going to be. It's hard when you get to that point. You can't figure you got half price of what you paid for it.
Yeah, obviously
it's going to be less than that.
Yeah, I mean, you got nothing to lose. I mean, it's better than losing the ticket, right?
Oh yeah.
No, definitely. Okay. Well, my other option is, I guess, is just I could purchase the hopper option for the last 2 days, correct?
Yes, you can add on to any ticket the park hopping option.
Okay, because yeah, that's what I plan on using this weekend for the Tesla.
Absolutely, Steve. Also, I mean, I know that you're obviously a Florida resident. Are you familiar with that 4-day pass that they've got for $99 for Florida residents?
I am. Basically, I don't see myself going back before the end of May.
Okay.
So I still have my annual pass. It's just I bought for Sylvia a 4-day ticket when we went in September, and it just so happens that it expires on the 6th, which will be fine because you know I plan on you know going to Epcot on Friday, and then again on Saturday for the Odyssey thing. But I wanted to hop over to the Magic Kingdom in the evening.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, use the ticket, go for that seasonal pass over there, and you'll obviously be able to. Then when we annoy you about coming up to one of our events later in the year, you won't have an excuse for it.
There you go.
My God, Steve, it's been a while since I've seen you. I'm finally going to see you again. Wow. I wear my Red Sox shirt.
Hey, I could take my Red Sox jersey too. I got four Marlins jerseys. I got a Red Sox jersey. I just don't have a Mets or a Yankee jersey.
I'll tell you, it was tolerable to be with Hochberg on the green carpet. He kept on saying Marlins, Marlins, Marlins.
That's right.
Too funny. Too
oh my
funny.
God, we're gonna kill all Steve. Right,
not a problem. Listen, I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
See awesome. You next
really
week, buddy.
To Tenfest. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Bye, Steve.
Go Jets.
Bye-bye. Revis. There's another one. Oh, never mind.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Oh, my God. We're
Hi, this is Stephanie from Lancaster.
Hey, Stephanie.
One half of the Spa Twins.
Stephanie,
how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Absolutely. Hey there.
It's been what? Hey. 2 months? It's been two
how
months.
How you doing?
I'm good. Huh?
It's only been 2 months since we've last seen you.
I know. And my granddaughter is a competitive cheerleader, and she's going to be cheering in D.C. So I decided to bring my grandson, who's 6, down to Disney.
Nice.
And guess what? We're going to be there for the Tech Fest.
Nice.
I was wondering if it would be okay if I bring him over there to Fort Wilderness on Friday evening.
Absolutely. More the merrier.
Is he going to be the only kid?
We had kids last year. We had a nice guy stop by with he had what. Two kids and his wife was there. And
oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They're more than welcome to come. Don't feel bad about that, Stephanie.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Are you guys going to eat at Trails Inn?
Oh, no. We've got some other plans, Mike, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yes. We can't announce just yet. That's going to be announced there.
Yeah.
But
it'll be fun.
Terrific. So what time should I bring him over so he can watch Jeanette get in her tent?
You mean I'm going to have somebody actually making sure that's where I sleep?
I want to see how long your extension cord is for your electric blanket.
Look, I've been told I can't get in the RV because I turned it down in the beginning. So I may be in the comfort station on my air mattress. I don't know.
Nice.
Oh, I must come and witness this.
Hey, Stephanie, I think there's still,
come and witness this.
There are still tickets, I think, for the Odyssey event, if you're interested in buying tickets for that. Saturday.
Well, my grandson, I'm having my grandson with me, and he's only 6.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I mean, he's going to be excited that he's down there, and I know that he'll be excited going over to the campground. But I don't know how well he'll be behaved.
Hmm. Well, that Sitting and, you know, there's the Mickey Mouse and my factor versus us, and I don't know, you know.
Stephanie, we say the same thing about Matt. We don't know how well-behaved he'll be.
yes. Well, I am excited. I can't wait to see you guys, and I will definitely be seeing you on Friday.
Awesome.
Good.
Can't wait
see
to see
Stephanie.
You.
Okay.
Have
Bring
a safe
blanket.
Trip.
Bring
407-278-5939. Stephanie's great. We see her at a lot of events that she's always over there. It's always great to be able to see some friendly faces along with the new ones over there. So we're really looking forward to TentFest coming
you know,
on Friday.
If it gets cold enough, Annette, you can always go into the comfort station and pick out a nice sweater.
That's right, from on the mini things. All I got to say is last year in the women's restroom, comfort station, whatever you want to call it, there were no sweaters hanging. Nothing hanging would have helped me. Oh, by the way, ticket sales for the Odyssey are over.
Oh,
so we're,
wow.
Over.
Sold out. Again, nice. This is the second time we sold that out.
Nice. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the line.
Hey, how's it going? This is Sean from Boston.
Hey, Sean.
Huge fan of you guys. Been listening for years now. You guys do a really good job. I can't believe I get to listen to you and don't have to pay anything for it. It's pretty cool.
Thank you so much.
Couple things. Mike, you got to back me up on this. Patriots team of the decade, definitely, right?
Here we go.
Hey, Sean, I got a chance to talk with Teddy Bruschi and Adam Vinatieri this week, and Matt decided that he was going to diss them. So,
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't get to see Curt Schilling, but no big deal.
That was pretty cool. Both those guys are really good guys. Just a couple things. Animal Kingdom. Why do you guys give it such a bad rap? I mean, I think it's one of the best themed resort. It's still fairly new. I mean, it's only a little over 10 years old and is arguably the best attraction in Walt Disney World, Expedition Everest, arguably the best show with Finding Nemo or Festival of the Lion King. So I think it's a great park, and I think Walt would love it. And then the other thing is, and I'll listen in for what you guys want to say, The characters in Flight, I also think that's a really good, pretty good attraction.
I totally agree. I agree with Matt, you. I think it's great. Yeah. Go ahead,
Mike.
No, I think, I did it in October, last October, and the view is really something else. I mean, it's something I don't think I would do again, but it's worth doing once to see how, especially for somebody who doesn't know that much about Disney World, to go up there and see how vast it is. You know, you can see where the Contemporary is, and then you look over and, wow, there's the Animal Kingdom, or we're in Downtown Disney. It really gives you a scope of how big Disney World is.
Yeah, I mean, let's Animal Kingdom, first of all. That park, it's a great park for 3 hours. And then it's like, okay, what else are you going to do here? And this is, trust me, we go to the park a lot of times. And, you know, the problem with Everest is a great ride, don't get me wrong. And I enjoy Finding Nemo. The safari is very entertaining. But you have the rest of the park really struggles. I mean, Dino Land has so many problems with it in terms of theme.
Yeah, Dino Land is brutal. I agree.
It just comes off so cheaply, and that bothers me quite a bit. I don't think any of us are really big fans of the It's Tough to Be a Bug attraction.
I am.
I mean, it really just
really?
Drops
I
off.
I like it. I think it's better than Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
I totally agree.
I think it's pretty good.
I totally agree. I think that's one of the better 3D shows you're going to see on property with Honey being so outdated. I totally agree with that.
I just it lacks so much in terms of depth, in terms of a park, and that really is what detracts from it. I mean, you add the dining there is,
better than your park.
Oh, I beg to differ, my friend.
Tufter House is. I mean, I like the Brown Derby, and I know it's expensive, but I mean, what do you got at? Sci-Fi is not very good food.
No, you've got Primetime, you've got Mama Melrose, all better, just as good restaurants, and you just got Tusker House at Animal Kingdom. I mean, the rest are just
you got Flame
you know,
Tree.
I'm sorry,
Flame Tree Barbecue.
Yeah, but that's just like it's the same food as you get anywhere else. I'm only talking about something a little more unique to that you can't get in other places. That's what really makes great dining. I suspect that's why I think Magic Kingdom is by far the worst dining park.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, it's only a little over 10 years old. Like I said, if you looked at any of the other three parks after 10 years, they probably had room to grow. And I think if they do something with Camp Mimi Mickey and they do something with Dino Land, that, you know, if they put some e-ticket attractions in those places, I think it can really be a great park.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, trust me, I would love for them to improve the park quite a bit. I think they do need it. And you're right. After it's only been 10 years, and certainly there's definitely room to grow from it, and I hope that that's what they're going to be doing, is that they're going to be looking over the next 10 years, and they're going to be adding more to it. But as it stands right now, it just can't hold my attention for a very long time.
Right.
And that's the main issue with it. Now, going over to your other point, which was characters in Flight, does anyone else want to comment on that?
I like Characters in Flight. It's one of my favorite shows over there.
No, Characters
in Flight.
Not Flights of Wonder. The big balloon thing, Mike.
Oh, that's
people from New Jersey.
forget that.
Here's the problem with it.
Forget the balloon.
Yeah, the balloon is...
The what?
The balloon.
Characters in Flight, yeah.
The clouds?
Yeah, the clouds. Yeah, the problem with it is that it's so temperamental in terms of the problems with it, in terms of, like, you just can't... You'd look at a good day, and you would think, oh, today would be a good day to go there. And you can get over there, and they may not be running it. Plus, they're going to be running the cost of it is kind of up there, $12 per person. You have to use the line is usually quite long for it. And I understand you like the view and everything, but I mean, can't you get that same view of like the top of Expedition Everest? And you know, you look at it for a little. It's kind
of
like the
But you're on at the top of Everest for what, 3 seconds? I mean, you're up there for a few minutes. I did the one in Paris too, at Disneyland Paris, and it was such a clear day I could see the Eiffel Tower. I just think it's a cool. You know, attraction to have it brings it. It would bring some people. You know, like when you're in Epcot, you can actually see it. So it would say, if somebody that doesn't really know about Downtown Disney, they would say, "Hey, look at that balloon over there. What's Downtown Disney about?" You know.
Well, yeah, I just feel like I have the National Lampoon Vacation mentality at the Grand Canyon. Okay, let's go.
Right.
That's me. And you know, there are plenty of people that like it. I just think that it suffers from a lot of problems from the weather, and I'm not sure it's the best attraction for Orlando. That's my issue with it.
Yeah, I see. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Really love the show, and have a great night.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, take care.
It's true. We did try to give it, you know, a legitimate try.
Yeah.
We went there, we waited. Yeah. And it didn't work out.
You know, pretty temperamental when only six people get on.
Yeah.
Because that first time, remember? There were six people got on instead of 40.
Yeah, they should have, like, a board over there with which excuse they're using today in terms of why it's not working. So it's just... That's the problem with it. I just wish it was more consistent in terms of being able to go up there. I would be more of a fan of it, but it's just, you know, long lines, and we just had a negative experience with it, and I'm, you know, that's just me.
I can't see wasting the time waiting in line for that when I could be at Epcot or Magic Kingdom or somewhere else anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. But very good call from Sean. Thank you. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Kim. Carib Diz on the board.
Hey, Kim.
Kim.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Great. What can we do for you?
Really excited about Tent Fest.
Yay.
Nice.
I'm trying to get, how do you get from the Wilderness Lodge to where you guys are going to be for the tent? Do you just walk? Is there a bus or
a
cart?
There is a path you can take. It's a long path, so don't, you know, necessarily. I assume you don't have a car?
No.
Okay.
Should I get a car?
Well, you can't. I think we all agree, and Scopa, you'll back on this. It's always nice to have a car on property, especially when you're trying to go from resort to resort.
It's a time saver, and I think what happens is that you need to take a assessment as to how valuable your time is. And my time down there is very valuable, so it's worth the money to rent a car.
Yeah, but if you don't want
a car to get to us at the tent on Friday, that isn't going to work. So
you're going to have
to leave the car at front.
You can take a boat from Wilderness Lodge, though.
Or the Magic Kingdom.
Is the boat closer than the path, or?
The path is just long. I don't know what kind of some people don't like walking very. It's over a mile. So, just, it's not like a quick, like, little, you know, stamp, like from Boardwalk to Epcot. I mean, this is a.
What about the internal bus? Can't you take the internal bus?
No, you'd have to go to one of the parks first.
No, the internal bus. Fort Wilderness internal bus.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, Mike, but the Fort Wilderness bus.
But she's at Wilderness Lodge.
I would take the boat over to Fort Wilderness from Wilderness Lodge, and then
exactly.
And then if we're far, you know, she can walk from where Pioneer Hall is, catch the bus, and depending on where what loop we're in, jump on one of the internal buses.
Absolutely,
that's not
because we're gonna have to tweet out where we're at because we're not gonna know until we get there Friday.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out now because I'm gonna be traveling by myself. So I was like, oh, I'll see. I didn't know if a car would make more sense. I'm thinking about the car anyway, though, because I'm doing the 5K the next morning. And there's no bus that's going from, I guess there's no transportation from the lodge. They're only, the only Magic Kingdom resort that they're doing is the Polynesian. So you either have to get to the Polynesian or to Epcot on your own.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about going from resort to resort, car by far is going to be so much easier. Fort Wilderness, if you're just going to Fort Wilderness, though, for Tent Fest, I mean, really, the boat is hard to beat. It's pretty convenient. It's very short, runs pretty often. Obviously, you have the path there as your backup. But if you're talking about going to other places like the Polynesian or something like that, it'll just make your life a lot easier. It's not that you can't take the boat. It's just, you know, like Mike said, it's a matter of how much your time worth to you.
All right. other question I have, cabanas, both at the water parks, and there are a couple of the resorts that have them now. Have you guys gotten any feedback, heard anything? Becky, have you heard anything from folks about what they think about them? Is it a good, you know, is it a good use of their money? Did they think it wasn't that big a deal?
Yeah, Becky, tell us.
It's actually Annette on the line.
I'm sorry, Annette. I apologize.
No, I've had a couple of we've had a couple of clients that have used them. They really enjoyed having that spot, and then we've had other people that didn't. They didn't think it was, you know, for them. It didn't work for them. They just weren't quite sure if they got their money's worth or it was really what they were expecting, I think, was the biggest problem with those. But they're fairly new, so, you know, we're still getting feedback.
Yeah, I haven't tried them out yet.
Prices up on them big time.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like $60 for 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's really how much is your, you know, we were talking about, you know, how much is your time worth, and this one is really how much is convenience worth to you? And I don't think it's necessary. At the water parks, I don't really find it necessary to use the cabanas. Maybe if you're going in like July 4th, you know, like some really high season in the middle of summer where the water parks are just going to be slammed and you don't feel like playing, you know, guard your seat. But really, I just don't see the value in them. I'm personally fine doing my own little thing. But, you know, maybe if you're bringing like your grandmother who needs to be shaded from the sun, but you want to have a kind of a central place, I mean, maybe I could see it from that point. But I think you'll be fine otherwise.
See, small children, that's what the people that have really enjoyed them, you're right, Matt, elderly, and then they have young children that were napping. So, you know, you had the shade, you had that little area they could get away.
Yeah. Hey, Newell, Becky in chat room is mentioning we need to do research. So you heard that. She's going to pay for our cabanas to go hang out over there.
Nice.
Perfect.
Well, I'm thinking about it for the summer because my mom's coming and she's a little older, so she's not going to swim. She's going to want to kind of hang out, but sitting in the sun for 2 or 3 hours is not going to be, you know, her thing. So I'm trying to figure out how I allow her to be part of everything.
Yeah, I mean, the cabana obviously provides shade, and that's going to be important because it's one thing, you know, for you and I to go find a spot. You know, we don't care if it's in the sun because, you know, it's nice and everything. But just make sure if you're worried about that and you don't want to get the cabana, just make sure you're there for opening of the water park. So that way you can go scout out a great spot that's got plenty of shade. And go that route. But again, if you're just looking for something, maybe you want to spend a little money and be able to have that convenience, then go for the cabana. I don't think there's anything wrong with the cabana in itself. It's just, you know, the matter of price and what's it worth to you.
All right. Well, those are my questions. Thanks a lot, guys. I will see you on Friday.
Awesome. Thank you, Kim.
Cool. All right. See ya. All
right. Have a safe trip.
Bring the warm weather.
407-278-5939. And before we get to our next caller, which I want to remind all of our listeners who our sponsor is, and of course, that's AllEars.net. They've been a sponsor of these live shows for many, 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 many months, and we thank them very much. AllEars.net is your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today, as if you all aren't there already, because you know, always a great place to go research your trip. So check them out. It's time for our next caller, and let's go to line two. Hello, caller.
Hello, James from Dayton.
James, what can we do for you?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking us out. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was just, they announced a new summer night tactic going on.
Yes.
Would it be worth moving my yearly pilgrimage from the fall to the summer?
That's a good question.
Not that big a deal.
I think it comes down to personal preference. What did you say, Scopa? I mean, you know, for summer night tasking, I mean, there's some interesting things going on over there, but I mean, I guess it comes down to whether or not, you know, you care about seeing the electric water pageant, the Main Street Electrical Parade, or, you know, the changes going on at Tower of Terror and so forth. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I think that I'm funny because I'm actually putting something together regarding my thoughts on this. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is that this is a temporary thing. I don't know how permanent this is. I think that Matt, you and I have talked about this, how we think that the the Summer Nightastic announcements were put in place to counter the Harry Potter exhibit at Universal Studios. I don't know what kind of an effect this these announcements are going to have. I think that the one that I would like to see permanent is the extension of the Animal Kingdom hours. I think that that's long time coming. I think that regardless of what the announcements would be, I don't think that these announcements are really going to make any difference as to the attendance. I think that people who are going to go, and I don't think that the Electrical Light Parade's return or the new fireworks that's coming to the Magic Kingdom or the return of the summer concert series to Epcot or the extended park hours at the Animal Kingdom or the Tower of Terror sequence, which I think is something that they probably had in place all along, but they're just tweaking it. And I don't think any of those are going to make a difference as far as attendance goes. It, to me, I think Len put it best. He said, there's really nothing new, that's all tweaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you, I think, really. I mean, if you're really interested in the Main Street Electrical Parade, I mean, obviously, you know, go check it out because, you know, who knows the next time you'll be able to check that out over in the Magic Kingdom. But, you know, if it's not that big of a deal to you, I mean, like, you know, Mike put it perfectly, I think, in terms of, you know, that these aren't groundbreaking, amazing, oh, my God, book your trip now because the world is going to end kind of things. It's really cool, I think, what they're doing. But, you know, if you're making your one trip a year, I might prefer the lower crowds and better weather in the fall. But that's, you know, it's completely up to you. It's such a subjective kind of thing in terms of what you value.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling. You know, the Nightastic thing is a really interesting topic. I'd love to hear some of our other listeners who are calling. When you call in, just let us know, you know, what you think of the Summer Nightastic idea and whether or not, you know, it's going to make you book a trip to Walt Disney World. I'd be really interested to hear what some of our listeners have to think. Call them with their questions, but, you know, just mention, hey, I'm, you know, Janine from Doritos, California, and, you know, I love the Summer Nightastic. I think it's a great idea. And then, you know, go on with your question.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. We've got Keith from Oklahoma on the line. Keith's been waiting patiently. It's your turn, Keith.
Hi. I had a couple questions. First of all, how long does it take from Disney Magical Express to get to Animal Kingdom?
From the airport?
Yes.
You mean the lodge?
Yes, to the lodge. Sorry.
I think it would depend upon who else is on the bus.
Yeah.
So I think that's a key factor. If you're the only person on the bus, then I'm going to say 25, 30 minutes, Matt, do you think?
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, you could be as quick as half an hour, like you said, Mike, and then you could be on that bus for like an hour or hour and a half. I mean, we've heard conflicting things. It really depends on where. If you're the first drop-off. If you're the first drop-off, theoretically, you can make it in about, you know, 30 minutes. Yeah.
I've never taken it before. I wasn't sure if they tend to follow the same path and like hit Animal Kingdom Lodge first and then go on to other places or whether it just is a sporadic drive about.
Yeah, it really depends on the thing. It's so hard to predict in terms of, you know, what other stops it'll make over there. But, you know, plan on, you got to give yourself, I would say from when you land and get off the airplane till you get to your resort, I would probably book about 2 hours is what I would suggest. And then that way you're always going to just have more time.
Okay. Another question that I had was, about what time does Hallowishes start? Because my fiance, or I guess she was fiance now, she's my wife, we're going for our first anniversary. Yeah, so he's saying that for so many years. We're going to be going, well, we want to get reservations at the California Grill and time those around Hallowishes on our anniversary. Well, and so.
Congratulations on your wedding. And Scopa, do you know what time Hallowishes usually is?
I want to say 9:15 to 9:30, right around there.
Yeah, I think a 9:30 sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it possible to see it from the tables, or does one have to go out like on a little balcony, like viewing area?
It depends on which table you get. Some tables do have a view; they don't have to leave. But otherwise, you have to just go walk outside to the little viewing area.
Okay. And I had one question about the crowd calendar. I know this is really far in advance, but I guess I just get really anal with planning and since I need to start making my ADRs soon. Do you know how Food and Wine Festival is going to be affecting the crowd calendar at all?
You know, I think I would – this is just from personal experience, Keith. Weekends are far, 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 far more impacted during Food and Wine because you have the locals coming in there. I think they really adds at Food and Wine. And it's not reflected in the wait times necessarily because they're all just here for Food and Wine. They're not riding Soarin' necessarily. If you can, try to do Food and Wine during a weekday, and I think you're going to find much lower crowds. Monday through Thursday is going to be your best bet in my estimation.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have. So hope you guys have a great evening.
Thanks, Keith.
Talk to you later. Bye.
407-278-5939. Don't forget, you can join us in our chat room, wdwtoday.com. Lots of great people in chat right now discussing the Summer Nightastic and what their thoughts are. A lot of people saying that they love Mystery Science Theater. Jesus.
Yes, we love it.
Street Electrical Parade.
Yes, we love Mystery Science Theater.
DD Indy writes, that's Dennis, writes, I haven't seen Main Street Electrical Parade since 1972.
Wow.
And Rianne Street says, I loved Main Street Electrical Parade when I was a kid. So obviously a lot of nostalgia floating around over there. We have our next caller, and I have over here, it's Anna Holsho.
Anna.
Anna Holsho.
There she is.
How are you, Anna?
I'm well. I had my whole show. I'm the adolescent Alone in Walt Disney World whole show person.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember? Okay, so I have one discount tip because I love listening to your show to get tips.
Nice.
And then I have one question. So my discount tip, and I tried to post it in chat, but chat doesn't lend itself to typing a novel, so here it is. We booked with Mouse Fan Travel. Yay!
Ding!
And
ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. They were so great, and they called me and said, here's the situation. You have the gift card offer, but if you don't do the gift card offer and instead book with the 40% off, you can save over $1,000. I said, let me think about that for 3 seconds. So it was great. But it doesn't make sense. I mean, you think, wow, $750 free gift card. Woohoo, I'm doing that. But then, really, it's so much better to not do that and get $1,000.
Anna, you have discovered...
And not paid that $1,000.
Hey, you've discovered the magic the secret behind all these tips. This is the same thing for free dining. People don't realize. I know it sounds like a really great deal when you get $750, except they're giving you the rack rates. You're not getting like those really good rates everyone gets and then the gift cards, or the really good rates and then the free dining. You're going and you're paying the full... slightly obscene rates for a lot of these things, and I'm glad that you were able to have a travel agent at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel that's able to help you and say, wait a minute, you could save a lot more money this way, and you know, you don't have the cool gift card, but then again, you're saving more money. So
yes, and we added the dining plan to it, and it was only the dining plan. Once we added it with the 40% discount, it was like $219 for 10 days. It was amazing. So I recommend people to rethink that. Do the numbers both ways. Make it easier if you're not a numbers person and call MEI or a travel agent and get them to work it for you because it was great. Okay, so that's my comment thing. Now, my question. We are sailing for the first time on
sailing.
I'm a little worried about it, but I've been listening to the podcast about it. And I need like a food comparison. Everyone's like, okay, the food's great. The food's fabulous. And I've eaten all over Walt Disney World. So I need like, is California Grill fabulous? It's Crystal Fabulous.
No.
Palace fabulous? I mean, what kind of fabulous are we talking?
Ooh, this is a good question. The food on Disney is, I've been on better, other cruise lines, I think have better food. It's not that it's bad by any means. No, it's very good. Annette, what restaurant would you compare the Disney Cruise Line food to? I'm thinking...
Gigo's.
Really? You think that high? That highly of it?
It depends. Well, it depends on it depends on what restaurant you're in.
Okay, so
and
we
what
do
you're
it like
eating.
A bad SAT question. You know, Triton is too blank as Parrot King.
I know this
blank.
Yeah, I think it would be the equivalent of a restaurant. It's
definitely not a buffet. That's
no, it's above. It's that above average Disney World restaurant. I'm trying to think of a good example of one because you know, like Crystal Palace, it's not a buffet, but I think Crystal Palace food is probably on par with that. It might be even a little bit better than that.
Okay, what about Canada?
Le Cellier?
Yeah.
That's a good question. There are some dishes, absolutely. You know, Annette, one thing that we like to do, I like to do it, you don't.
Oh, please, wait, stop. Not put me in this ballpark. You go out there by yourself.
What I like to do, and Newell loves to laugh at me for doing this.
I'm laughing right now.
I just want desserts.
Yeah, you order everything on the menu. And you can do this because it's the same prices. All food is it's included in your price, Anna. So just say, I'd like to try this, this, and this, and this, and this. And there's a couple of reasons. One, the portion sizes are small. Two, it's free. You may as well try them out. So, you know, you get the steak, you get the chicken, you get the fish, and you try a little bit of each. And I really do this personally because I like to try new foods, but also because I find that some foods are a lot better than others. And, you know, you get to, you know, if you find one, wow, this is really good. Good, you have that. So you don't eat the chicken or you skip on the other thing. The other thing is, and in chat room, Lori and Becky are mentioning this, be sure you book a reservation for Paulo. That's the best food you're going to find on the boat.
Yes, we're doing Paulo. We're doing it for brunch, though. Is that bad?
No, that's best.
It's awesome. Okay, it's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, actually,
plan on about 3 hours to just
3 hours?
Enjoy.
Yeah,
but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
My last question. Has anyone done lunch with an Imagineer?
I haven't done that yet. I've been meaning to do it, but it's only on weekdays and it never works into my schedule. But I hear good things about it. It's one of those things that I've never heard anything bad about. So let us know if you do it. Let us know how it goes. Okay. But I've heard nothing but good things about it. So check it out.
I wish they would bring back Wishes Dessert Party for the Summer Nightastic.
I guess you can't have Wishes Dessert Party if they're not showing Wishes. But
they could call it something else. It's a refurbishment. How do you refurbish dessert? I don't understand.
There will be dessert. There will be. They're refurbishing the noodle station, and I'm sure you'll have dessert parties. I'm guessing you're going to have them by April, for sure.
They were a big hit. They were. Yeah. They were a big hit. Yes.
Well, it was worth the money to not have to stake out your spot and, you know, sweat like cowboys.
Cool.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Anna.
Bye.
Great call there by Anna. 407-278-5939, and Tony Caggiano in chat is mentioning that Big Tony's in the chat room. So now you definitely got to check out the chat room.
So we have Tony and Big Tony?
Matt, you never give away that. Yeah, you can't say I was ordering so much food, that many plates. That's bad. Feel free. You're a growing boy.
Now, I'll share a quick story. We were at Apollo, and I ordered, you know, like typically what I order, Newell, like four things,
right?
Dishes, and the waiter goes, "Sir, those are full entrees."
Yes, he did. No, he said,
"A sampler platter."
He said, "Sir, you realize that these are entrees." And Matt's like, "Yes," as he's snapping his finger. Bring them on.
The Rock would say, "Bring it." All right, we've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Greg from Lexington.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How you guys doing? Love listening to you.
Damn.
Thank you.
Actually, I was just on a chat line about bringing a tripod to film Illuminations. Do you know if the parks have any problems with that?
Absolutely not.
None at all.
Good.
They even sell them.
The question I had.
They do.
They just sell them?
No, they sell them. You can buy a tripod at a camera shop, so they must it must be okay.
Okay. The other question I had is my wife and I are going down, and we're going to be watching Illuminations and then going over to Jelly Rolls for the rest of the evening.
Nice.
Question I have is, we're driving from Saratoga. What's the best way to do it? Should we just go ahead and park at Boardwalk and just leave the car there all day? Or try and beat the crowd out to move my car from the parking lot at Epcot over to Boardwalk.
You are venturing into some gray area, my friend, as to what the right answer is and what the possible answer is.
And leave it at that.
You obviously can park the car at Epcot. Just know that it's not a problem that if you come by later in the evening and pick up your car at Epcot over there, it'll be easy to find, but that won't be an issue, so I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't leave it overnight, but, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
I've left my car overnight.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good.
They have security there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a problem with parking at Epcot. Now, I know what you're looking for. You're looking for the convenience factor, and now you're entering that territory where we had a couple of live shows ago where we were talking about someone who wanted to park, who had breakfast at the Polynesian and was going to park their car there for the rest of the day.
Right.
And I mean, I took some heat for saying that he can do that. What you're doing is a little more cavalier, if you will. And I can't really – I don't want to say whether or not you should or shouldn't be doing that. I think that's a personal choice that everyone has to make. But,
But it's wrong. Say it. It's wrong.
I will not – I cannot condemn it, but I cannot support
if
it.
If I'm spending that kind of money to stay at the boardwalk, I want to be able to have a parking spot. And if everyone's
and
staying
at the boardwalk, he's going to be there that evening spending his money at the boardwalk.
I'm saying guest. What? I'm not saying spending money.
Yeah, and I'm staying at Saratoga.
Well, here, do this.
And if I'm DVC and I can't get a spot, I'd be doubly mad.
Well, here's Becky in chat room brings up a great idea. Valet at the boardwalk.
Absolutely. That's the best way to do it. Totally agree with that.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And we'll be listening to you more.
All right. Thanks very much. Ooh, Newell, did you hear that? The bullet that I dodged right there.
You were dodging it several times. That was crazy.
407-278-5939. Our chat room is going, you know, you can, there's webcams going on right now. You can watch me. I don't know why you want to, but and you can watch Marvin's on cam. Is he Newell? Or is he off cam at this point?
No, he's not on cam.
Oh, he's not on camera anymore.
But he's watching the closing ceremonies. He's busy.
He's busy. But you can watch Newell. Our webcams are on there in the chat room. Just go to wdwtoday.com and you can see all these really good ideas that we've been ripping off for the show. Woo-hoo. So
and that's the other thing, man. If you're driving and you're going to the ballpark to drink, it's not really a good idea to drive the car.
To drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. Fair point. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Amy from Cape May.
Amy.
Hey, Amy.
How are you?
Are you calling from Real Cape May or Cape May Cafe?
The Real Cape May.
It's kind of quiet where she's at.
Yeah, that's true. Cape May Cafe is not usually that quiet.
Is that the Jersey Shore?
There's snow here. I doubt there's any snow in the Cayman Cafe.
Good point. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
I just had a question. We got my friends and I got roped into the 40% off, so we're going down in May, and we realized that it's the weekend of the I think it's the first Star Wars weekend.
Nice.
And well, none of us are really big fans of the Star Wars, and so we were wondering if we'll be there from the Thursday until the Sunday. So we were wondering if we should go on the Thursday. If it would be less, or should we try to go on the weekend? Would the lines be less because everybody's doing the Star Wars stuff?
The lines won't be affected that much, but the issue is going to be that it's just going to be far more crowded Friday through Sunday. So there's a lot more people that come into the park, but they're not really riding like Tower of Terror. They're there for the Star Wars stuff. If you're going and you have no interest in the Star Wars weekend stuff at all, you should definitely go on Thursday because the park will feel less crowded. I think that's going to be an issue for you. You know what I mean?
Okay. The only other problem was they're only having Fantasmic on the Friday.
Annette, what were you going to say?
I was just going to point out that if you go on Star Wars weekend and you're not into Star Wars, you know, say like me, you're going to see a lot of strange people walking around, and you're not going to know which ones are characters and which ones are actually park guests in some situations. That's all I'm going to say. They dress up.
Yeah,
that sounds interesting.
I say you try it out. I love Star Wars Awakens.
I had a lot of fun. I didn't know what they were, who they were, but I had fun still.
Yeah, I try it out.
But we've all been many times, so, you know. It might be something interesting to see. We thought about that too. But
yeah. Well, what you could do on Friday is go park hop over there, you know, because the Star Wars weekends events kind of wrap up late afternoon. So you could go over there maybe around 3 o'clock. So that way you'll be there with plenty of time. Go check out a few things. The closing ceremonies are really a lot of fun. You should definitely check that out. Your friends, you don't have to know anything about Star Wars, but the closing ceremonies, the hyperspace hoopla that occurs at near Star Tours is really a lot of fun because they kind of poke fun at themselves. And that'd be fun to check out. And then you can go see Fantasmic.
Hey, Amy, if you go, make sure you take your camera and make sure you send us pictures of Matt in his Princess Leia uniform, okay?
Hey, the gold bikini only comes out once a year, all right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, next call, please. Oh, wow. Ouch.
Okay, well, thank you. That was all I had to.
Yeah, that's all I got, too. I'm leaving, too. That's it. Goodbye.
On that note, I'm out of
here. On that note.
What's a Jar Jar costume? Who's Jar Jar?
Oh,
my sister. Oh,
it's
Annette.
Better you don't know.
Annette, you pained me.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and you can call in with your questions. Obviously, we want to mention, of course, Friday is going to be Tent Fest, and we'll actually be having another live show on Friday. And that's going to be, assuming, well, you know, internet permitting, but 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So 6 to 8 p.m. Will be our live show on Friday. So you can hear, tune in, listen to the stuff. And Mike Newell, I'm sure you are currently going through all your Fort Wilderness music, so you can have a full day of that stuff playing
in
the background.
Banjos and more.
Banjos and more.
It's Banjo Weekend on Mousewell Radio this weekend.
Let me ask you, you know, this is interesting because, you know, you, Newell, Annette, and myself, we did it last year. Scopa, how would you characterize your anticipation for TentFest? Because you didn't do that last year. I'm interested to hear what you – I mean, are you like, yeah, looking forward to it, or like
I'm going down for I'm going down for a Princess Half Marathon. How about you?
I'm now wishing I had signed up to run. It might be easier than sleeping.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing of your experiences at TentFest. I mean, I'm looking forward to doing the podcast and doing the amazing race or whatever we're calling it. And I'm really looking forward to, hopefully I can run the half marathon. I've got some health issues now, but I think that, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that are going to be really interesting, and I'm looking forward to hearing Annette's review of sleeping
the
in 39 degrees. Yeah, the comfort station, the sweater. I'm looking forward to that sweater. See what color it is. Yeah.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Father Bill.
Hey, Friar Bill. Hello.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I want to ask about what their evening after the live show on Friday night is going to be.
Ah, after the live show, you know, 8 o'clock, Newell, we wrap up the live show, and then we're going to head over to Epcot for extra magic hours.
That's right.
There he is. Yeah, so we're going to head over there, and, you know, since we're at Fort Wilderness, even though you're sleeping in a tent, you still get the extra magic hour benefits. So we're going to go have fun there. And, of course, we're going to extra magic hours because this is the Annette strategy, to spend as little time as possible actually sleeping in one's tent.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I managed. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I managed to get away. I was having to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning from St. Louis, and managed to find a flight for a little fee on Friday afternoon. So I'll actually be down on Friday instead of Saturday, like I was planning. So I was going to try and catch up to you all.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on down. I mean, Len is going to be joining us also late, and he's going to probably be joining us right in time for Epcot as well. So absolutely, come in late. We'll be at Epcot. Check Twitter and everything. I know you're big on the social networking over there, and you'll be able to find us, no problem.
I just signed up for the TentFest Twitter, so I'll catch up to you, and then I'll see you guys on Friday night.
Awesome. Sounds great. Looking forward to seeing you there, Bill.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye.
Have a safe trip.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and you can call in now with your questions, perhaps about TentFest. You know, we didn't hear any thoughts about Summer Nightastic. I'm really interested to hear what you all think about Summer Nightastic and whether that's going to convince you to book a trip to come see it. I mean, we talked on the show that, you know, we haven't seen the Main Street Electrical Parade in many, many years. I haven't seen it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it, but obviously I live here, so I'm not exactly booking a trip. But, you know, it'd be very interesting to see what everyone thinks about that. And, you know, people were talking in the chat room a little bit before about the, you know, what their thoughts were. But, you know, feel free to give us a call, 407-278-5939. You know, if you're going to be coming to TentFest this weekend, be sure to follow us on Twitter because we'll be tweeting out where we are. Friday, we'll mostly be at Fort Wilderness. That'll be very easy. But as the weekend progresses and we're at the Mouse Fan Team Challenge, and other events, you'll be hearing from us. I think it was really going to be a lot of fun. and 407-278-5939. Now, Newell, you are taking the train again. Is that right?
That's right. I leave, Thursday night. Thursday night.
Wednesday.
I leave.
Yeah. That's a slow train.
Yeah. It is, but I have equipment to bring down, so I have to train it this time.
Where's the thunderstorm?
Oh, that's
the
thunderstorm. That's your sound effect. Now, the weather is interesting for this weekend. It's gonna be cold.
Cold.
Yes, I think the latest we heard was the low was gonna be like 39 or something like that. But hey, you know, just wear your thermal underwear. Luckily, no rain. You know, please.
Please God, please. Yeah, please, no.
Please, Jeebus, help us out here. you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to have everyone over there and kind of sharing. And I know that some of you are going to be camping with us So I think it's really going to be a very, very interesting and very fun time. And I really can't wait to see it. And, you know, we're going to see, of course, Janine will be camping, right, Newell?
Oh, yeah, sure. She'll be there.
Sure.
She'll be camping at Pop Century.
Well, we have lots of people that are coming that are not partaking in the ground.
No, not at all. And no. that's perfect.
Which is okay. I smart people. Yeah.
Oh God, that's the sound that's Scuba's entrance music right there, Mike.
Don't forget there's plenty of nice flannel pajamas at the
the comfort station.
At the comfort station.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Evan from Dallas.
Hey, Evan.
Hey, Evan.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
What's on your mind?
Pardon me?
What's on your mind? What do you got for us?
Oh, well, I got a couple of questions. The unofficial guide advocates, well, first of all, we're going to be going this Thanksgiving, and two adults and two teens, and the unofficial guide recommends taking the afternoon break every day. And I was wondering, do you think that would be necessary for us still, being our touring party?
Scopa, what are your thoughts on that?
Can you say that one more time? I'm actually writing while I'm listening. Go ahead.
Evan, can you repeat your question?
Yeah, could you repeat,
oh,
please?
Yes, sure. Two adults, two teens, going this Thanksgiving, and I was wondering, do you think it's necessary to take the afternoon break that is recommended throughout everyone?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going at Thanksgiving, it will be really crowded. And to look at this one of two ways. If you take a break, then when you go back, it may be crowded at night and you may not be able to do as much as you like. Or what you could do is you could think about getting there early to any of the parks during that week and do as much as you can through early a late afternoon, and then just worry about doing fireworks at any of the theme parks at night. I think, I'm not sure if Len has that in any of his touring plans, but that's the two options that I would see. I don't know. I think taking the afternoon break, I think that depends upon the time of year you go. I think that you have to consider what you want to do, how you want to tour the parks, and what you want to see. Sometimes taking the afternoon break and going back will re-energize you, but it also will find you looking at larger crowds. There are more people in the parks from 12 o'clock on than prior to 12 o'clock. There are more people in the parks from 3 o'clock on than before 3 o'clock. A lot of people like to do a lot of things later in the day. So I don't know if that helps you, but that's I think that's how Len sees it too. But you know, don't tell him I said that.
I like the idea of the afternoon break. I mean, I know the first day you're there, it's like, I don't need no stinking break. And then what happens is your trip progresses on, I think it becomes more and more of an issue. And, you know, even an hour, you don't have to go back for like 4 hours. I mean, that's really for like summertime. But, you know, just go for an hour, just go back, maybe go for a swim, you know, at your resort. And just to get out of the parks, take a little bit of a break, I think will really do to making your trip overall be a lot easier in terms of the fatigue factor. So, you know, it's not necessary per se, but you only stand to benefit from it.
I can tell you just from going with teens, because that's what I go with. We don't necessarily go back to the resort and take a break, but we plan on a nice meal in the middle of the day so that we have a break. So we're sitting, we're away from the crowd a little bit, or we'll get away and have a snack break, an hour or so in the morning and an hour or so in the afternoon. But we don't necessarily go back to the resort, but we do pull away from the crowds and find a quiet spot.
Okay, thanks. And I got a couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll be getting there on Saturday the 20th at about 5 o'clock, and my mom is not in favor of burning a day of admission that for maybe 4 hours or so. So do you have any suggestions of what we could do that night?
Yeah, go to Animal Kingdom Lodge and go see the Night Vision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Do some resort hopping. Let's
go. Fantasia Gardens. I think a lot of people miss out on Fantasia Gardens. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real it's a real neat experience to do. You could do that. I mean, that's good for at least an hour or so. Check out Downtown Disney. Check out the boardwalk. That's what I would recommend. That's easily 4 hours right there.
Okay, and one more. I was wondering, is there any advantage of buying your tickets from Disney versus, say, an independent broker like Undercover Tourist? Is there any advantage in there?
You'll save a few bucks. Not a lot. It's not like you're going to save like 20% or anything like that. I mean, it's a few dollars.
I actually think you could save more money going to AAA.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's just another option to get. I mean, obviously, go check it. What you should do, Evan, is go to the touringplans.com, and they have the lowest ticket calculator, and see what you're going to be saving over there. The only way you wouldn't want it that, and in that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you wanted to buy like a Magic Your Way package.
And sometimes depending on what they're offering, and of course we don't know, you know, what the special they'll be offering for Thanksgiving would be, but you know, sometimes they've had the free ticket upgrades or the buy four get three, where you get the extra ticket days and stuff. It's kind of a gamble because we just don't know what the offer will be for that time frame.
Good point.
All right. Well, thanks. That's all I have. So
awesome.
I'll just hang up and listen now.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
All right. Thanks.
407-278-5939. And hey, you still got a good half hour left here to get your questions in. I know some of you were trying in the first hour to get your questions in, and the phone lines were very, very busy. But you know what? You got your opportunity now. If you tried before and you said, forget it, I'll ask Newell when I see him at 10 Fest. Well, you know what? Don't bother the man. Call in now and bother him now, I guess.
Don't bother me now either.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Steve Medina in chat room is asking if we're going golfing. Absolutely not, Steve. I went golfing last week, and it was terrible. I mean, just...
You mean you were just terrible.
You just can't play?
Yeah,
I can't play. I am terrible at the game, and I just... It reaffirmed it. I mean, you know, just... It's not even close, so no.
But they're talking about Butterfinger muffins. We should have a Butterfinger muffin meet.
Yes. Len wanted to try the contest, how many bites it takes to eat one muffin. He said, what did he say?
I think
two?
Three. I think he said three.
He said he could do it in three, and that's so wrong.
I say we take him up on that bet.
I think so.
Yeah. I'd love to try it to compete with him on that. I don't think three would be really tough, but.
Because we all know it takes three licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop.
Yeah, that's right. We'll send Glenn to go get some from the studios for us.
Glenn's not going anywhere. Don't send him anywhere. He's with us. He's not the errand boy.
407-278-5939. Don't forget the chat room is open. You can read all of Steve Medina's wonderful comments at WDWJ.com.
Sorry.
So, you know, we obviously have 10 Fest is on our mind as we're going just a couple more days.
Eliopoulos is saying we should have a tequila and Butterfinger muffin meat.
Good night.
Yum.
Yeah, that would be an interesting meat, to say the least.
Yum.
And we have another caller on the line, so let's take our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Thad from Indiana.
Hey, Thad.
Hi, I have a question. I tried to do a touring plan on touringplans.com for Epcot, and I noticed that the Sum of All Thrills attraction wasn't figured into that touring plan, and I was curious what your opinions were on the popularity of that attraction and perhaps where should I put it in my plan, if you will.
Great question. When are you going on your trip, Thad?
We're last weekend of March, on March 20th, 23rd, 24th, right in that week of week of the 20th.
Good question. Okay, so Sum of All Thrills, that's that new KUKA simulator ride over in Inventions, and it's a lot of fun. Scopa, you've done that before, right? Or you haven't checked that? Have you checked out Sum of All Thrills yet? I know Len has.
Yes, I've checked Sum of All Thrills, but a little claustrophobic. I designed a really neat ride and I got into it and it just was too snug for me. And it's like, I don't think I want to do this. So
I loved it. I went there with Becky and she screamed like probably last time she screamed like that was probably in like the 70s and at one of her rock concerts that she was at.
Wow. The 70s.
Yeah, the 70s. Yes. I'm going old school.
And Matt knew.
That's right. Yeah. I was there for that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Several throws is great. You know, the lines over there, if you can, I would say the ideal time is anytime in the morning to early afternoon. I think people tend to just be at the other attractions during that time. So what you might consider doing is checking it out if you can during the morning hours. So if you're you know, the line really wasn't ever that bad. I've been there a couple different times, and really, at the worst I've seen the line, it's probably about 20, 30 minutes or so. And if you see it really long, come back later, because the line really fluctuates quite a bit. But those morning hours are going to be your best option. And for those who are unaware, the line, some of all thrills, it's this picture, a huge robotic arm about the size of a, I would say it goes up to at least a two-story house, I would say, give or take, with two seats on the end of it. And you design your own roller coaster a la Cyberspace Mountain, and then you get in there and you get to ride it. And it's really cool. It's really unique. You can go upside down, or you don't have to go upside down if you don't want to, like Becky. But that way I
then, you know, a lot you design of Becky it later and today.
You force your co-pilot to go on there. And it's really a lot of fun. You get to it simulates the whole thing. You get to see your friend or your companion in the vision and the screen over there. And I really think it's a great attraction. I really enjoyed it. It's fun. It's free. It's a little short, but hey, you know, I think it's a great little attraction. It's definitely worth checking out over there.
Well, it's probably something that if I grabbed a fast pass for Soarin', I could get to some of all thrills and then back to Soarin' for my fast pass time.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily feel the need to go that early in the morning, because I think you're grabbing your fast pass Soarin' right at park opening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would say this would be a great attraction for like 11 a.m.-ish to noon, you know what I mean? Get those important attractions out of the way. Get Test Track, get Soarin', you know, Mission Space, whatever else is really at the top of their priority list, and then get in there in that late morning hours when it's still going to be kind of overlooked. Because I think people tend to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, in the afternoon, be like, all right, what else haven't we done? Oh, Son of All Thrills. Let's go check that out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your input. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Thad. 407-278-5939. Got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Stan.
Hey, Stan.
How you doing?
Outstanding. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just wanted to see if y'all could, me and my wife, we were down during the big cold spell right before we left, actually, half marathon day, and I wanted to see if you could confirm that we all got sick while we were there. We were there for my son. Well, we have older kids. My son's first birthday, we all got the stomach bug, and we missed 2 days. Of meals on our dining plan. Were we just out of luck, or was there some way that we could have maybe gotten some money back or something for all the meals that we missed?
You were on the dining plan, I take it?
Yeah.
I believe you, sir, are out of luck, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Your dog wants to come in, by the way.
You're talking what?
Your dog needs to come inside.
Oh.
But,
it
stinks that you weren't able to take advantage of the dining plan because you guys were so sick. That's the worst, being really, really sick at Walt Disney World. And Newell, you were sick one time, but that was on the way out because some kid coughed on you on the plane ride back.
Yeah. Oh, that, I was out for like a week and a half when I got back.
Yeah. Well, luckily that was after the trip. So it wasn't like you were suffering at Walt Disney World.
You have to bring up the kid coughing. Jeez.
Oh, yeah, Mike had one of those too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We have a theory on how we got sick. We have video footage of my son kissing the nose of some of the characters. And we're wondering, how many other kids had kissed that nose.
Oh, yeah.
That day or the day before.
Well, describe the kiss.
Well, it wasn't all that sensual.
Yeah, I mean,
a nice little kid kiss, but there was probably several more right in front of him. So,
You know, the biggest disappointment was we missed out. We had a reservation for La Salle, and we missed out on that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In one respect, I know it really stinks, and it's not going to make you feel that much better. But I applaud you for not being selfish about it and not saying, "Well, I don't care," and going out there and potentially making everybody else sick at the restaurant. It stinks, and you. But you know, I think a lot of people in chat room would say, "Well, if you're going to be sick somewhere, may as well be in Walt Disney World, right?"
Right. As good a place as any.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Dan. 407-278-5939. Yeah, that we were talking about Newell coughing. Some kid coughed on Newell on the airplane ride, and Scopa, you and I were eating dinner the other night, and you had a similar experience.
It's just amazing, and you know, I had dinner with a few other with some friends the other night, and I said, "What would you do?" So let me throw this out to the chat room and see what everyone would have as suggestion.
We're gonna light up the phones now.
Light up the phones, okay?
Get ready.
We'll take the fourth caller.
Buckle in, kids.
So Matt and I are having dinner at Shudders, and Matt, again, correct me if I'm wrong. But there was a single mom sitting next to us with her child. I think he might have been 5. He gets up and he walks over to our table. I mean, he's right next to us, but he gets up and he decides to stretch, and he's standing no more than 5 or 6 inches from our table, and he decided to cough on my food.
He literally turned to Mike's food and then laughed. It was so like... It was so surreal because, like, I think, Mike, you looked at me and you were like, did that just happen?
Yeah, and she said, and what did the mom say? Well, he's not sick. Well, how do you know he's not sick?
But, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it shouldn't just matter that he's not sick.
What do you do? I mean, I can't say to the server, you know, take this back. He just coughed on it. I mean,
you know what?
I think that,
why not? Why couldn't you say that? I would have said that.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Some kid coughed on my food.
Know, it's just another reason why kids under 7 should not be at Walt Disney World.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wait, get the phones.
Yeah, get the Death Star music ready there, Newell.
The what music?
The Stormtrooper music.
Oh, no.
He goes off. Yeah. Hang on that thought for a second. We've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jana, NDM1.
Hey, Jana, how are you?
I'm good. I had a question for y'all, the experts. In May, my husband and I are going to be staying at Animal Kingdom Villas. We're DVC members. And
nice.
We want to have a date night. Going to send the kids to Simba's Cub House. And I was wondering, what were your recommendations for a date night, considering that my kids are going to be at the Cub House and we'll probably don't want to venture too far away?
Chico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chico.
That's better than like Boma or yes. Anything.
Chico is one of my favorite restaurants, and Annette, I think you can you're a big fan of it also. It's very romantic, very nice. Definitely not a great restaurant for kids. So I think you guys really enjoy it. It's very close, obviously. You can walk right over there. You can take the bus. You can drive. Whatever floats your boat. Great food, wonderful food. Some of the best food in Walt Disney World property, in my estimation. And, I mean, if you asked me to list the top 5 restaurants, Chico would be in my top 5 right there.
Really? That's fantastic. Now, would you recommend doing something after that, or you think the meal at Chico is just like...
Yeah, go do the... we recommended earlier. Go check out the night vision.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of fun. That's a nice thing to do. Go sit by... There's a fireplace outside as you walk out to the animal viewing area on your way.
Uh-huh.
And you can check... There's a nice fire pit over there, and that's kind of nice. A little romantic. You can sit by the fire and, you know, kind of, you know, hold each other's hand and... You know, remember the good, you know, whatever leads from there. But, you know,
Wow. Well, it's ugly until people tell us to go get a room.
Yeah. But, you know, that's stuff you can do. Animal Kingdom Lodge is great for, in terms of resorts. They have so
next week they'll say, go get a tent.
No, I'm with Annette. No tents.
well, then you messed up because I'm doing one night of a tent. Just for you guys and the laugh factor. Cause.
You are brave. I don't know. I'd be like, sign me up for Bay Lake Tower or something.
She had a choice to stay in the RV. She said not to.
Again, I'll say it again. I said it in chat room. I'll say it again. Tent fest, not right. RV fest.
See you, Annette. More power to you.
I'm trying to. I told Matt I'm here for the team.
See?
I'll be sick as a dog afterwards.
Well, kudos to you for that. All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty good plan to me.
Yeah,
we haven't been there before, so this is all going to be... It's our home resort, but it'll be our first time staying there.
Nice.
So I'm got to learn all of the little things that they have to do there.
Yeah, and of course, nothing says romantic. If that doesn't work out for you, maybe your husband doesn't want it. Waffle House. I mean, really, that's romanticism.
Just,
it's just, you know...
Just ask Eliopoulos. He loved Waffle House.
That's right. I mean, look, if you want to ask how romantic it is, yeah, exactly. Kid Rock got married there, so come on.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Oh, my gosh.
Next on the line, we have Tyler and Trish. Hey, guys.
Hey. This is Trish.
Hey, Trish.
Hoo-ah!
I just have a question for you guys. We have our next trip planned for the end of May over Memorial Day weekend, and we were actually planning to end that trip on June 4th. And then we found out that the rumor is that the new Magic Kingdom parade and fireworks are starting like the 6th.
Yes. The dates haven't officially been announced, but I believe...
I don't think it's official, is it?
No, there are dates. WDW Magic, I've seen, has posted rumored dates and is rumored to begin June 6th. So you're right about that.
Okay. So then we were thinking about changing the dates of our trip, but then we noticed on your crowd calendar that the dates from the 4th through the 6th are gay days. And we're wondering if anybody has any input about that.
Well, Gay Days is an annual event that goes on at Walt Disney World where, obviously, gay people come and spend some time at Walt Disney World, just like the cheerleaders come, just like the Brazilians come, and they have these events. They rent out some of the parks. This is an unofficial event. This isn't a Disney event. They just happen to come there. It's kind of like Ten Fest, only they actually have a great deal of people that show up there.
Because they're not going to Fort Wilderness.
But what they do is they have a park of the day, generally. You can find their schedule. Just Google Gay Days. You'll find their schedule over there. And you can see where they're really going to be going. Now, it's not to say that they won't all be at that park, but, you know, if they've got an event going on at a certain park, they're going to be there. So if you're looking to avoid – and this is just on crowds, not on commentary on personal choices and orientation or anything like that. You're just looking to avoid large crowds, and I don't blame you. If I knew there was going to be a park that's going to have an 8 and a park that's going to be a 4, I'm going to the park that has a 4. And it's nothing against – you know, it could be filled with Florida Marlins fans, but see you later, guys. I'm going to – I'm going to the park that has less people. So check out the schedule over there, and that way you can avoid the crowds. But if that doesn't bother you, I mean, again, I was at the studios one day during a gay day that was assigned for the studios. I really didn't notice that much of a difference in crowds.
Okay. Because we've seen a couple blogs about it. We're taking two children with us that say that sometimes it's a little bit crude. And so I didn't know if anybody had any input that way.
I've seen far more crude acts by heterosexuals.
Yeah, me too.
I've seen far worse, trust me. So making out, regardless of who it's with, is still not good for the parks. So.
Okay, well, we're isolated in the nice little Midwest here, so
yeah, I mean,
we don't know what to expect on the East Coast.
I really don't think you're going to have a problem with it at all. I really don't.
Okay. And then I have one other question, and this is just a curiosity question. The building in Magic Kingdom that is between Fantasyland and Liberty Square that's kind of up on the hill, it's a little brown building that doesn't look like you have access to it.
Where they park the carriages?
The little chateau?
Yeah, the tramway.
It was the old Skyway station.
Where the Skyway was.
Okay, we were wondering what that building was, or if it was just for looks, and we were just curious about what that was.
Yeah, Newell, do you want to tell her about that?
Yeah, that was the Fantasyland Skyway Station. It used to go between there and Tomorrowland. That was the one at Fantasyland. The one in Tomorrowland, they just recently torn down, or broke apart, mostly. The one in Fantasyland has that, like, that German-type, old-style German world feeling.
Right.
That's still there. I think they use it mainly for to park the carriages outside of Small World, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the strollers, right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We just were curious.
It's a cute little, it's a great photo spot, too. It's a nice little building to take a photo. Yeah.
Yeah, we have it in several of our pictures, and then we were just like, we don't know what that is. So
yeah, it's very well themed.
The experts.
It looks a little out of place considering where it is, but it's very well themed. It's very pretty.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. Well, thank you for your input.
Thanks, Trish. Say hi to Tyler.
Okay.
Have a good trip.
407-278-5939, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Sam from Virginia.
Hey, Sam.
Sam.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt, Mike, and Annette. I'm calling. My wife and I, Ashley, we're coming down Wednesday, and
that's
we're getting out just in time. Nor'easter is going to be coming to Virginia, so we're missing out on that. And we're going to get to watch the Braves and Mets Wednesday afternoon when we get down there. But the reason I'm calling is my wife got reservations at a new restaurant called Sanaa, and we were trying to find out a little bit more about it. If you guys have been there, what do you think of the restaurant?
Yes, we just did a show about that, didn't we, Mike? Last week about it. But Sanaa's great. I like it. It's a Indian Asian fusion kind of African fusion. So it's kind of a little of both. I think it does lend to the more adventurous eaters. So that's kind of a consideration. I think it's a great value, especially for lunch. If you look at those prices, I mean, it's hard to beat in terms of what they offer over there. Sam, have you had Indian food before? Do you like Indian food?
The only Indian food, yes, I actually have, and I do cook it. I'm a little leery of spices myself personally, but we were trying to find out, is it a loud restaurant or is it more, what kind of atmosphere is it inside?
I think it's pretty quiet, Scope. What do you think? Mike, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted. It's very quiet. It's, I don't know if it's visited as much as they would like it to be visited. I think it's pretty quiet. Yeah, it's not like Flying Fish is like the complete opposite. Flying Fish is very noisy, and Sanaa is very, very quiet. I think that it would be a good idea that when you do go up to check in, that you ask if you can get a window seat. I think
absolutely.
That would be very nice.
Yeah, go there for lunch, because then what's nice about Sanaa is you can actually see the animals there, unlike Boma or Jiko, where you can just see the pool or nothing.
Okay.
You can actually see the animals in there. So like Mike said, ask for that window seat. Go there for lunch because it's a nice the prices are even cheaper than dinner, obviously. And try it out. I really think you should give it a try. I think it's one of those restaurants that you get – it's a good value. It's an interesting food that you don't get anywhere else really in property. So and it sounds like you like Indian food, and try it out. Get that bread sampler. That's really a great option. It's for two people. You get to share it. You can see a good taste of everything. And I know you mentioned that you're concerned about spices. I bring my wife there, who is the world's pickiest eater, and I have yet to find anyone who's pickier. She likes it quite a bit. She likes the tandoori chicken, not spicy at all. And again, mention to the server. They're there. They know the menus very well. Ask them, you know, say, look, I'm not really looking for a very spicy dish. You know, what are your thoughts and things like that? And they can definitely help you, point you in the right direction.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, guys, and hopefully we'll get to see you down there while we're there.
Awesome. Hopefully see you at Tempest.
Good luck. Hopefully you get to get out before the storm hits.
Hey Sam, yeah, when is that storm supposed to come in?
It's supposed to hit us Wednesday morning, actually, in Virginia.
Okay,
it's the very first thing in the morning.
I'm supposed to be driving down to Lawford,
Virginia.
Yeah, Wednesday night. So I'm wondering if I'm gonna just miss it or run right into it.
Well, the train keeps going.
You may be on the back side of it because it's supposed to be here a very early Wednesday morning. Like, we're going to be probably just getting on a plane and maybe hopefully missing any of it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's starting here around midnight going up. So
I hope to see you and Ashley down there next week.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Have a safe trip.
See you, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Sam and Ashley were my buddies at we went to Wyoming on the...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Adventures by Disney, yeah.
Nice.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And Cheryl in chat room is saying that I haven't had dinner with her in terms of being picky. But Cheryl, you have dietary restrictions. My wife has just no good reason for it.
Picky,
yeah, she's
picky
just picky for the sake of being picky. It's not like she has dietary restrictions. She just says, I don't like it. It's green.
Oh, you didn't just mimic her.
Did you just really say that?
Actually, I think she's listening. Uh-oh.
You're in trouble.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
First you insulted Becky, and now you're insulting Marissa.
That wasn't an insult of Becky. I mean,
no.
I didn't say that she could. That was not an insult.
No, that she was working with rock bands in the 70s? That means she'd have to be about 60 by now.
Okay, well, maybe.
Just in case she didn't catch that.
She was probably about 8.
Pointed it out.
She was probably about 8 in the 70s. What are you kidding?
But maybe she was like, they brought her on stage. Look at this little cute little girl who's like 8 years old. Hey. All right.
Yeah. Stop digging.
That's the ticket.
Yeah.
407-278-5939. Live show again on Friday. This Friday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So if you can't be there, if you're going to be there, come to Fort Wilderness. We're going to be broadcasting live. So we can, you know, if you're going to be like Sam and Ashley and they're going to be able to check it out beforehand, come on by. Let us know how it goes. We'll be talking about lots of different things. So be there. Otherwise, tune in www.today.com. You'll be able to listen to our adventures live.
The idea is we're going to have the webcams up around, I think, around 3, right, Matt?
Yeah, it should be up by that point, I would say.
Or even earlier, so if you want to check it out. We have all 3 together at www.todaylive.com. So we're going to have that and the audio there. The chat room will be there. Everything's going to be in the one spot. And you'll be able to see us lounging while Matt and Annette are putting up the tents.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Amy from Kentucky.
Amy!
Hi. I'm afraid to say how old I am. I think that Matt might have told me for being old.
No, don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I have a question about getting to the airport on departure day at Orlando International. I asked this in chat, but I thought I'd ask you guys too. We've never flown this late in the day before, and we're also flying a different airline. So we're flying AirTran, and we depart at 3 p.m.
Yep.
So we usually fly out earlier in the morning, and so I'm wondering how much earlier we should get to the airport in order to get through security.
Amy, I can tell you that the later my flights are, the longer the lines are for security. I would suggest that you be at the airport 2 hours before your flight just to play it safe.
Right.
That means dropping off your that means not dropping your car off any closer than 2 hours before your flight takes off.
Okay, so maybe leave the resort like 3 hours ahead of time. Well, checkout time is 11 anyway, so.
What time is your flight?
The flight is at 3 p.m.
I would leave leave the resort sometime between 12 and 12:30.
It's exactly what I would say too. Because I've flown AirTran, and I definitely 2 hours, if not more.
All right, sounds good. And I also have to stick up for the music that you played last year for Gen Fest.
It was great.
It was perfect.
I loved it.
I loved it.
I thought it was great.
Thank you, Amy. Mike, it was perfect music. Please do not change it.
I will not change a thing.
Right, we're gonna a little overtime here just to squeeze these calls in so people want to get in over here. We're going to have our next call from Connecticut.
Hi, this is Sarah from Connecticut.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
I have a question. I'm going to be doing the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in October, and this is going to be my first race ever. So I'm a newbie runner.
Good luck, bro.
And I know I'm totally nervous, but my ADR reservation time is coming up at the end of March, and I'm debating. I don't know what to do that day. I don't know where to eat before the race because the race is at 10 o'clock at night. I don't know where to go. So I know you guys are experienced runners, so I need some advice here.
Go ahead,
Matt.
Let's go.
Yeah,
go ahead.
First off, what I need to know is when you go on a run, when you normally go out to run, how close to your running time, how close to your training session do you usually eat a full meal?
Well, I prefer to run first thing in the morning, so I really don't eat much before I run. So I think that's where my dilemma is with this race in particular, because it's so late. I don't know.
Yes,
what to do.
That's my issue too. I think what my plan is, and I plan to run. I haven't registered yet, but I'm assuming I'm going to run that. My plan is to have a big breakfast, and that will be it.
Okay.
Do you know what time is the race scheduled?
I think it starts at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, so I would say, I'm probably going to schedule my breakfast to be about 8 o'clock because Matt, Mike, and Annette, this may sound strange, but a lot of runners prefer to not have anything in their stomach, not anything in their system, like 12 hours before they run. It's just, you just don't want that stuff. You just don't want anything in your body. It's funny how that is. A lot of people like that, and for that particular race, a lot of us run early in the morning. The early morning races, the Walt Disney World Marathon, Half Marathon, and the Princess Half Marathon, there's no problem because we get up about 2 o'clock and then we run at 6. But But this one is very difficult because not only is the eating a factor, but what else do you do during the day? You can't really walk. You can't go to the parks. It's one of the issues that I have with the timing, because I think that it really hurts Walt Disney World to have a marathon that starts at night, because that means that all those people who are going to be running are going to be not going to be in the park. So again,
that was my dilemma, because it seems like a waste of a day. It's like I want to go to the parks in the morning, but I don't want to kill myself for the race. So
yeah, so I'd say go for a big breakfast. Go make an ADR for a really, really nice sit-down breakfast and eat to your heart's content, and then just for the rest of the day, you know, snack and do whatever you need to do to feel okay for the race. But that's my plan.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks very much for calling in.
Good luck.
All right. Bye.
And I think that's going to do it for us. All right. This one last person. They've been calling all during that call. All right. Last caller of the day. Hello, Masayo. Last caller. Hello, caller.
Hello? Oh, hello. Hello. One last question for you. I'm considering the Hoop Dee Doo review.
Yeah,
who? And I have a member of my party who is somewhat allergic to hay and straw. I didn't know, do they have those types of things inside the building there where they would?
No, not
where it might upset.
No, but along from the bus to the building, there may be.
Yes.
But actually, in the actual dining hall, there's no. Okay.
That's actually a really good question.
How close does the hay and the straw have to be before the allergic reaction begins?
It's not like a dramatic reaction. It just, he just sneezes pretty constantly once he's around it. He doesn't have to be, you know, if he walks by it outside, it doesn't affect him. But we were worried about it being inside in kind of a confined
enclosure
area.
Right.
And,
I get that.
Yeah, I don't recall. It can't hurt to ask when you first walk up to the podium, just to ask the cast member checking you in, just to make sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but you want to know before you make the ADR, though, Mike, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you can always can you cancel it?
No. Those are
not cancelable.
Yeah, yeah. You
really don't remember me being inside.
No, there really isn't. I really wouldn't worry about that.
On stage? Okay. No.
No.
Well, when you make the ADR, I would ask the cast member on the phone, then, if that's the case. Just in case.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Just
thank
in case.
Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Man, I go for some Hoop Dee Doo right now.
Oh, I was just thinking about that, too.
You know, right there for the banjo music.
Hoop Dee Doo.
Hoop Dee Doo. Hoop Dee Doo.
Hoop Dee Doo.
Something else that goes like this. Hoop Dee Doo. That's a fun traction. If you haven't done Hoop Dee Doo, go as a group. Bring your family, bring your parents, bring everybody that, the more people you have, the better.
Go on your birthday.
Yeah, go on your birthday. Do anything, because it's so much fun. Get the tier one seats. It's worth the money. It's so you can be part of the action and not regret it. Nice. But that's it for, this is our last show. But I want to thank our sponsor, AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers. Receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And we thank you for listening to this month's live show. You can actually tune in if you want to hear some great music. Tune into Studio Central Radio. StudioCentralRadio.com. Hear some great music that's not banjo related, but still worth the time. And I want to thank all our callers called in, all our listeners, and everyone in chat. You guys in chat are awesome, always giving us some funny things to read during the chat room. So very, very nice job. And again, thank you to everyone who tuned into the show. Without you, there is no show. So thank you very much. That's going to do it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, visit the WDW Today website at WDWToday.com. For a line test of Mike Scope and Mike Newell, the fabulous Annette Owens, I'm Matt Hoshberg. Don't forget, we'll see you on our next live show, which is on Friday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time.
stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.